things that I noted early on when I was looking at cultures that were really good at connecting. And we published this in Coyote's Guide. There's a whole section on it in there because I think it's such an important thing to recognize. And it's that they all seem to realize and recognize the value of things that children universally are passionate about. And they leverage those things in regular, constant, routine ways. So we call them children's universal passions. If you've been to an art of mentoring, and you've been to one or two art of mentorings as a ring one, and you're kind of like, well, where do I go from here, you know? Because I've written a bunch of stuff down in my notebook. I cried a bunch. I got really depressed about my life. I'm like totally permanently haunted about what's missing in our society, and now what, right? So they come back to the ring two experience, right? And basically what the ring twos essentially do is they spend the entire week immersed in children's universal passions, and they essentially awaken the sleeping nine-year-old and the adults, and then the teenagers engage them in battle and, you know, mischief. And they spend the entire week while everyone else is sitting and learning and getting scared and depressed and horrified about our planet and the people. They just play the whole week madly. And they all come out of that saying it's one of the most powerful experiences of their life. It sort of roots something into them that, you know, no amount of thought about important things could possibly muster, right? And I think that's because, you know, when we look at connection modeling, we look at the intersection of recreational fitness modeling and connection modeling in one intersection. You know, recreation sort of brings out Southeast energy. It brings out that vitality energy. For instance, games. Playing, and you know, I don't mean like board games or trivia games. I mean more like active games, volleyball or soccer, things that require like awareness and your whole nervous system to be engaged, where other people are playfully joining you, raises that energy and brings out that vitality attribute. The other thing that people point out is dance. You know, that dance, especially certain forms of dance, are really good at activating that Southeast energy in the body, really awakening that vitality. There's other things that when you start to think about them and you start to look for them, you're like, what is it that makes universal passion so fun? You know, it's raining and you're a kid from California. And if you're able to use your connection instincts without parent supervision, what do you invariably end up doing? You're running out in the rain and getting soaked. You know, you're playing, running and sliding on the grass. The rain is accumulating in the lawn and making lakes. You're running back and forth, and, you know, the dog is running back and forth with you, and you're laughing hysterically, and then your mom comes out the door, oh, my God, what are you doing? You're going to catch a cold. And, right, so that sort of neuromuscular programming of what happened in her generation when she forgot that that's really awesome, you know. You know, so children, you know, gravitate towards universal passions. So if you made a list, if you brainstormed a list of all the children's universal passions, what do kids all around the world have in common that they love doing? And if, especially without parental supervision, will just naturally find themselves doing and doing to a high, you know, really refined degree. If you applied any of those in your program routines, you'll find that it raises the vitality of the participants, right? Singing together songs that everyone likes to sing is one example. People love to do that, and you know, children love to do that. Adults sometimes pretend that they don't really like doing that, and they get kind of like intense about it, you know. And like when the New England people merge with the California people at bird language intensives, you know, there's rebellion. Yeah, yeah. Oh, we're gonna all sing, aren't we? We're all gonna sing songs together now, right? But you know, the California crew is not embarrassed about that, because we know that music plays a really important role, and that we use a lot of music in the art of mentoring because music really raises the energy. There's one particular song that I think, you know, Southeast lightning struck the earth, and it hit Tim Wiedenkeller from over on the other side of the bridge from here where we are, lives over in the Tamales Bay area. Tim wrote a song kind of as a joke for a friend who had named him the Coyote because he was using tricky stuff in the way he was teaching him music. And so Tim was walking in a valley in Arizona, and he heard this song echoing off the cliffs, and it had this nice kind of samba rhythm, and he was like, ah, yeah, and he started singing it, and then he wrote the song Coyote, which is on page one of Coyote's Guide. That song has got more Southeast energy in it than any song that I know. You know, the moment I hit the first couple of notes on the guitar, people already start dancing. They jump up and they start hooting. You know, they're like, yeah, unbridled Southeast. You know? And I am not kidding you. When we are playing Coyote with the adults, the children come running from the distance towards it because they're like, their eyes are sparkling. They're just like, ah, I love this song, you know? So, you know, this is how you kind of notice if something has children's universal passion to it. You know, the best thing to do is test it on children. And if they electrify because of it, then you know you've got something. But remember that children's universal passions are, and it's like you've got this circuit and you're trying to accomplish something with connection, mentoring, and modeling. And if you don't drop enough Southeast batteries into the system, it'll be really dim. So I really would like for you to think about cultural mentoring as almost like electrical engineering. And that Southeast moment, Southeast activities, you know, things that stimulate literally children's universal passions, awaken the whole system and cause electricity to flow more powerfully. Nobody knows this better than the San Bushmen. And I'll tell you right now, they are some of the most childlike, fun-loving people you've ever hung out with. And, you know, if you accidentally tap a rhythm, like you're holding like a bottle and you got a pencil and you accidentally tap a rhythm, all of a sudden, all these women will start clapping and singing with you. Right? Dan Gardoki and I were actually sitting on one of the safari rigs. You know, they're like these Toyota pickup trucks. We don't sell this kind of Toyota in this country, but they're sort of like Land Cruiser fronts, and then they have these things bolted on the back with bench seats in them, you know, with a little canvas roof on them to keep the sun from burning you, really. So Dan and I were sitting with Josh Lane, and the three of us were sitting inside this vehicle waiting for the manager of the project to finish talking to the director of the project and then sort of come to an agreement with the translator and some of the Bushmen about what we were doing in the afternoon. We were just kind of hanging out. We've been out all morning, and the women, there's about 12 of them with some little kids among them, have all kind of taken to sitting along the roadside in this crouch in the shade, and they're just kind of hanging out. And now we're hanging out in the truck. We've been here for like 15 minutes. I'm not sure what's going on, but we've been sitting for a little while. So Dan starts tapping a rhythm on the roll bar with the pencil. Tink, tink. And Josh is going, foo, 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 in his bottle. Tink, tink, foo, foo, because we're just bored, you know. But the rhythm starts going, and I start tapping on the seat and adding a little bit of something to it. Next thing you know, all the women erupt, and they start playing along with us, right? And it was so fun. And then they start singing and clapping. And now they're dancing. It took all of 3 seconds for that to happen, right? They are so given to immediate spontaneous eruption of song and dance in any scenario, right? The other thing that we saw with them was that this was pointed out by Tom Kelleher, an exercise physiologist. And I don't know if this has anything to do with exercise physiology, but this is what he observed, okay? He said, John, did you notice this about the Bushmen? I'm like, what is it, Tom? He said, watch what happens when they play games, right? When I was a kid, the parents would all hang out in the house and chase the kids out to play games, right? Big Irish family. I'm like, yeah, same here, my family. He's like, yeah, I think it's pretty much what we do. He said, but did you notice what they do? All the adults play the game and they make the kids sit and watch. I was like, I didn't actually notice that. But all of a sudden, I realized these games that are super fun and really funny and very rhythmic, they actually sing and play while they're playing games, whether it's jump rope or this throw the melon game that the women do. They don't let the kids play. And they make them all watch. And then when the adults just go at it and they have so much fun, and we're talking 90-year-olds playing this game too, and they're just getting way into it, and they're getting competitive, and they're laughing, and they're having so much fun. And then when they're tired, they just walk away and they drop all the game stuff and walk off. Right? Guess what happens next, you know? The children go, right? So I think that's an important point. I think sometimes, you know, at the Art of Mentoring Network, the children model playful childishness or childlike energy, and the adults get infected by it, right? Which is, I'm thankful for the children for that reason, because literally our attributes are kicked on by mirror neurons. So having a bunch of really playful children amongst the adults awakens that in the adults, and they become more playful because the children are so unbridled in their playfulness. But in the San culture, the adults never lose the playfulness, and they want to keep the ante up really high because I think they recognize the importance of that energy source. So they model it at a high level, and then the children learn to be that way. Now, because that is so, if you get into this one particular game that they play, I don't care how athletic you are. You know, because I've brought people over to the Kalahari who are very athletic. And every time they try to play this game with the Bushmen, they just get crushed. Because when you look at the Bushmen, they seem kind of chill. You know, they don't have like a warrior culture. In fact, they don't even have a war gene. You know, they are actually psychologically, emotionally, physically incapable of harming another human being, right? War gene didn't emerge until humans went up into north of the Mediterranean, and then it spread from there. And therefore, you would think they're pacifists. Therefore, they're chill, not very competitive. Well, that is not the case. And I actually had to use my iPhone and set it on slow-mo to figure out how to actually get ahead in this game, because what they were doing was happening so fast that it was like a hummingbird's wings. You couldn't see it, so you couldn't actually get the technique down. And what they looked like they were doing was running up to a dirt pile with some grass on top of it and throwing a stick down that would smack on the dirt pile and then bounce off and go. So all of us would come running up and throw the thing and it would stick in the ground. And of course, that raised great laughter from them. But when I slowed it down, I realized what they were doing was they were running full speed up to this point and then landing in this one spot. And we could all see that part, so we were all running and landing on that spot. But if you had the wrong technique, you looked really foolish at that point. They were actually throwing the stick in such a way that it would do a 180 in the air, and then it would hit the ground and bounce and fly off. But you could not perceive that, right? And if you were not fully in the zone, you could never do it. And I started to really think about it, like, you know what I mean by being in the zone where your neurology is so peaked and electrified that you're capable of performing physical feats that are beyond the comprehension of your mind. So this is kind of like what athletes strive for. And when a team is really hooked up and synced, like if you want to read about it, read Phil Jackson's book about the Chicago Bulls winning 5 successive championships, because he was able to get them into the zone consistently. And he was using things that activated the connection system. It wasn't just fitness. He was doing things like jamming full sensory capacity and other things like this. All the Bushmen games require full sensory capacity. Full sensory capacity is linked to the Northeast attribute. The Northeast attribute turns on all the other attributes. So it's like they have this floodgate system going on. You have to have your nervous system fully peaked in order to even play the game. So if you combine that energy with children's universal passions, you've got this super electrified thing going on that really makes everybody happy and alive and just powerful. And I believe the reason we need that is because I was confronted by a snake in the Kalahari, and I thought it looked harmless, and I put my face down too close to it to see what it was, and it was about 9 feet long, and it was yellow, and it looked like a normal non-poisonous snake in our land, but when it flipped its head back, its hood spread out, and suddenly I was like just very close to a Cape Cobra's face in full threat. And then I actually demonstrated why we need this attribute of vitality. Okay, so I flew backwards through the air, crouching style, crouching tiger, hidden dragon style, making this really high-pitched sound, and then I landed impossibly well, and I don't even know how I did it. And it happened in less time than I could think about doing it. You know, it was so instantaneous, right? And that's clearly why the Bushmen need this vitality attribute, because you absolutely have to have this peaked neurology to avoid danger. And one of the things that children love to do is imitate. They love imitation, right? And they love when other people imitate. So what happened that night, apparently, was that the Bushmen, who actually didn't show any signs of noticing that thing that I did, apparently went back that night at the fire among all the Bushmen and then reenacted it over and over and over again. Now, this is what they do. So just think about this, right? They're all around the fire, and one guy comes and tells the story and then imitates it and makes the noise and flies through the air, and then everyone laughs really hard, right? So what he will do is then go back and do the exact same routine again and get about 60% of the laughter he got the first time, right? And he might even try a third time and see if he can get it at least up to 40% laughter level. And everyone's like waiting because someone else is going to imitate him imitating me, right? And then it just goes. And then one of the kids gets up and does something really funny related to it. And this is, I think, part of what they're doing. So the kids love sitting around fires and listening to stories. They love when people imitate and tell really funny stories. And they like when the slapstick thing is really, really big, right? The Bushmen love slapstick. And so they love Jackie Chan movies, for instance, today. If they get to watch television and they get to see stuff, their favorite movies to watch are martial arts videos, but especially Jackie Chan, because he's always so happy, like a Bushman, you know? So they're like, we like him because he's like a Bushman. He's always happy and he's always really doing funny things with his body, you know? So, you know, it just sort of points at, you know, these universal passions have a purpose, right? And I'm pointing to an application of purpose here. And that application of purpose is to activate, not just to make your people that you're working with in Nature Connection programs activated so you can get them to do other stuff, because that's certainly the way we use it a lot. You know, we build motivation in the body through these activities, these Southeast models that build up that electricity in the body, and then that gives them the energy to do something that requires focus. And that's, you know, that's totally right out of Coyote's Guide, and that does work. But I think there's an even grander purpose for it in this sense, right? It's like activating the full neurological potential, awakening all of that. Look at the universal passions in that way. You know, playing with water, playing with sticks, making stuff like little forts, little fairy forts, climbing trees, jumping, leaping, playing, skipping, you know, what are all the stuff, all the things that go into that? Music, singing, rhythm, you know, doing rhythmic singing with games, you know, when all those things start to combine, you're looking at a lot of the stuff that the Bushmen are using every day in their culture. And just think about how you can leverage that stuff more, because you'll have a lot more fun. Anyway, for me, I have a hard time getting over the threshold of being self-conscious about it, you know, which I see a lot of people have in modern times too. But, you know, the more fun you can have, and of course, in a connective container, when there's connective activity, people feel safer anyway, so they're more willing to take risks. So even the people from New Jersey or Boston that make fun of the Californians, after a couple of days at Art of Mentoring, they totally let their hair down and they start playing just like everybody else. And they even hold hands and sing. So, you know, it's really about what fires up the electricity. You know, the whole ring two activity is about reawakening that childlike vigor and that vitality. And remember that it's not just for children. You know, because quite literally, some of the most vigorous people among the sun are the older people. There's this one woman who really strikes me. Her name is Naba, I think is her name. I can't pronounce their words so well, but she, every time she talks, her hands are dancing like this, and her face, she does all these really crazy expressions, you know. And everybody just loves that. When she does it, everyone wakes up. And another man, Gupta, who's a friend of mine, who's an amazing tracker, he is totally a full-on ham. Everything he reenacts with full body, exaggerated expression, you know, and he just really electrifies people with this dramatic storytelling technique of his. But he's also always looking for comedy. He's constantly looking for things that stoke humor, you know. And he's always poking fun out of himself as well. So, you know, these are important cultural elements, you know, these children universal passions. And when you look at them, you know, look at Coyote's Guide, look at that list, just think about how that works in your life. You could build that stuff into whatever you're doing and just raise the energy and help connection flow a lot better. So, yeah, now we can all go play. Thank you. All right.